But with that, we just finished a series entitled Behold the Savior. I love the focus that we had on Jesus, and I hope you enjoyed that series. And I hope that you're taking the time to just keep focusing on Jesus, because that's what it's all about. You know, as disciples, we are trying to look at him. We're trying to learn from him. We're trying to be like him. We're trying to treat people the way we see Jesus treating people. And it's just always great, because what you focus on is what you ultimately become. And you know, I do want to just encourage us to continue to think about the things that we learned, that we admired, or that moved us most, because Jesus helps us to make breakthroughs. Okay? Jesus helps us to make breakthroughs. And so for the next few weeks, we are going to look at amazing women in the Bible who had breakthroughs. And we're going to learn from these sisters, and we're going to learn what helped them, how did they do it. And so I want to kind of set the table tonight, because we're going to talk about this over the next, basically to, you know, to the end of the month. And we're going to have some brothers speaking on Sundays, and you know, we'll have our midweek services where, again, we're going to continue to talk about breakthroughs, because you know, breakthroughs are very, very inspiring. You know, when someone overcomes an obstacle in their life, when someone is faced with, you know, challenges and difficulties, and they find a way to overcome. And the beautiful thing is, when we do it deciding to trust in our God and believe in his power and protection, it's crucial, because what happens is we experience a transformation that can only come from the inside. And the inside stuff is what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. Here's a scripture in the TBT, the Passion Translation. And it reads, "Our hero, come and rescue us, O God of the breakthrough. For the glory of your name, come and help us. Forgive us and restore us. Heal us and cover us in your love." You know, I love this passage, and especially in this translation. See, to have a breakthrough is to move beyond an obstacle. I love how this verse, it describes God as the God of the breakthrough. And see, guys, no obstacle is too big for him. No obstacle, no challenge, no sin, no past experience, no present situation. Our God can help us overcome anything that holds us back. And you and I have got to believe that, because there's nothing too hard for God. There's no situation that he can't deal with. And when you have that faith and that belief, well, man, anything is possible. Look at another passage here, Psalm 51, verse 12. Again, Passion Translation. Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring to me. Hold me close to you with a willing spirit that obeys whatever you say. You know, and we know that David wrote this psalm in response to the situation that he had with Bathsheba. But see, breakthroughs, they're awesome because according to this passage, they bring joy. They bring passion for life. And they're inspiring. I want you to think about someone that you've seen have a breakthrough. Someone who the light kind of went off in their minds and then they changed their thinking and then they changed their lives. And it was like, what happened? Well, they had a breakthrough. So here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Have I been living a life of breakthroughs? Have I been living a life of breakthroughs? Because you know what? If you're a disciple, you've lived the life of a breakthrough. You've experienced many breakthroughs. But sometimes we can, you know, we can get stuck. So my question then is, are we conquering obstacles in our lives or resigning ourselves to them? Or here's another way. Are we vulnerably asking God for the power to overcome challenges, or are we settling into a life of stagnation? Again, good question to ask ourselves, to think about. And see, Jesus, again, he taught many things and he gives great illustrations of people that he interacts with, and they have powerful transformations, but it started with something on the inside. Let's look at this passage, Matthew 5, verse 8. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. That's the Message version. I love that. You know, because the biggest obstacles that we face has to do with our inside world. You ever hear somebody say, you know, he's too much in his head? You know, on the basketball court, or at least back in the day, you know, when you got into someone's head, that meant you had that person questioning themselves and their ability, because maybe they missed a shot or two, and you know, you would try to get into their head. And if you get into someone's head, now they can't play freely. You know, it's very similar in the spiritual world. You know, the enemy is constantly after our identity. The enemy is constantly after getting us to question whether God can do this or whether God can change that. And the battle is to continue to decide, okay, what am I going to believe? What am I going to think? And so we're going to look at two women in the Bible who experienced spiritual breakthroughs, and we're going to learn from their relationship with God. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, or you can look on the screen and start in verse 14. And this is the NLT version. It says, but Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. You know, I love this story because Ruth displays something that was really, really deep inside of her. You know, Naomi was an Israelite woman who moved to Moab with her family and stayed there for years. And then after her husband died and her sons died, she was really dejected and discouraged and decided to travel back home. But Ruth, her Moabite daughter-in-law, wouldn't let her go it alone. And so though Ruth was really putting herself in harm's way by subjecting herself to possible discrimination, possible rejection, because she was, you know, be a foreigner. But because of her love for Naomi, because her love was stronger than her fear, she decided, I'm gonna go, and come what may. I want you to think about this for a second. Is there anyone in your life that you love like this? Don't you think about that for a second? Somebody come to mind? All right. Think about that. Well, see, this is how deeply God loves each and every one of us. And we can learn from him how to love, because this is a deep love. This woman is putting herself in harm's way, but because of her love for her mother-in-law, she stayed. So here's one of the principles or lessons we can learn from Ruth. Let your love be stronger than your fear. Let your love be stronger than your fear. And you know, brothers and sisters, when you really stop and you think about, you know, this story and you realize, wow, because of her decision, it led to God doing amazing things in her life. It opened up a whole new door. And, you know, we know what ended up happening. And, you know, she, you know, was redeemed and remarried, and God, you know, fulfilled his prophecy through this lineage. But it's because this woman allowed her love to be stronger than her fear. You know, it is so important for us in our relationship to really dwell on God's love. One of the things that, you know, Sari and I would do during the sabbatical was we got to see a lot of creation. And, you know, and I don't have time now to show, you know, you see, you know, some of these mountains and things we've seen. And it was just like, wow, God, you are unbelievable. You are an artist. You are our creator. You made things, and it was just perfectly made in a way that only God could do that. But it made you stop and stand in awe. And when I think about that, why did he make things the way that he did? He did it for us. He wanted us to enjoy watching the sun set into the ocean as if it just dropped down in the water and then disappeared. He put these mountains there and just these amazing flowers and things that we saw. And it just made me stop. Wow. Look at God's creation. Look at what he's done. Ruth had a love that was stronger than her fears. If we want to have spiritual breakthroughs, we have to look at our love. And you may say, well, man, my love is weak. I'm impatient. I'm, you know, this, I'm not that. I'm okay. That may be true. But what you got to then do is you got to focus on God's love for you. Because that's the focal point. You know, we're going to always come up short. But when we understand how God loves us, that's what gives us the strength to love other people. As we understand how loved we are by him, that then we give that love and we're not afraid to, you know, go here, do this, do that. And we can learn that principle from our dear sister Ruth. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what the Message version says. Watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Boy, I love, again, you read the Bible in different versions. But let me ask you a question. Do you love cautiously? Or do you love extravagantly? See, Ruth loved extravagantly. You know, who can you choose to be a friend to like Ruth was to Naomi? You know, brothers and sisters, boy, I tell you one thing that I love in this, you know, during the sabbaticals, we got to see some great friends, and you'll see some pictures on Sunday. And I realize I get refreshed by relationships, seeing the Jacksons and the Wares and you know, the Mimis and, you know, seeing, oh my gosh, having a brain, Hazel Jones, just John and Magdalia. I mean, we saw a lot of people, and it was short periods of time, but it was just great to be able to reconnect. What would it look like to love like God does? What would that look like for you? Because that's what we're trying to aim at, is we're trying to imitate our Father. There are so many people in the Bible who had the courage to be like Ruth because of their relationship with God. And so I want to encourage us to really think, what would it look like to love like God loves? Let's look at our second example over here in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38, and you guys are familiar with this story. It says, Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem and came to another village. Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. Lord, why don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get on up and get over here and help me. Jesus replied, oh, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and concerned about a million details. But really, only one thing matters. Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her. Now, I don't know if you guys are fans of the Chosen, but I'm a fan. And, you know, season four has come out. It's all over the AMC. They show this scene, and I'm not gonna. You got to see it because it's beautiful, and Jesus handled it really, really well. But what's the point here? What matters most to you? I want you to really ask it. What matters most to you? You know, when we struggle to be ourselves, it's easy to want to impress people. It's easy to want to perform perfectly at the things that we do or live up to this real or maybe it's even a perceived expectation of people in our lives. And you know what? Living this way usually speeds us up. And as we strive to get everything done, like Martha here, we may get anxious or even angry about everything we think that we need to do. Can you relate to that? Mary was okay with being different from her sister. She was okay with her sister getting angry with her. But, you know, Jesus had to intervene there. But it's like Martha was all about the to-do list. That was most important to her. Mary understood something, that completing tasks and impressive details are not what makes her worthy of Jesus's respect and love. Jesus wants our hearts, he wants our time, and he promises to take care of everything else that we need, according to Matthew 6:33. And see, knowing this, Mary made a choice. She decided to be different from her sister. And see, God wants the same thing from us. He wants us to not perform, to not be busy, to not be in achievement mode. He wants the relationship. He wants the relationship. And so what do we learn here from Mary? Again, it's simple, but she knew what really mattered. I know this says matter, but she knew what really mattered. That time with Jesus was the most important thing to her. Not cleaning the house because people coming over and, you know, it's got to look like this. It's got to look like that. You know, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but she has a song called Sweet Nothing. And I want to read some lyrics here that I think is fitting. And it says, "And the voices that implore you should be doing more, to you I can admit that I'm just too soft for all of it. Outside they're pushing and shoving, you're in the kitchen humming. All that you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing." Now I understand we got some Swifty fans in the crowd, and so you're like, okay, but think about that. Though there may be voices, and sometimes that's just in between our ears, you should be doing more. You should be this. Comparing ourselves to when we were in our 20s or 30s or when we used to do this, we used to do that. God doesn't want that. He wants us. He wants to hear how we really feel. He wants to hear What are you afraid of? What are you concerned about? What are you insecure about? He wants us to really give him our true selves, because he wants that relationship. Look at this psalm. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway far from the buzz of traffic. The Message version. You know, brothers and sisters, guests, when we believe that this is all God wants from us, yeah, he wants us to do things for him and be his vessels and instruments that he works through. But God just wants us to be close to him. He wants us to connect with him. He wants us sometimes to just slow down and get our priorities in line. God, you know, if we're married, our spouse, our kids, our, you know, family, you know, he wants us to keep him in the right place so that we continue to remember what really matters, what's really most important. Our times with him, think about this, will be quiet, secure place in this noisy world. Sometimes in our noisy minds, God wants that place. Mary knew what mattered. Again, let me ask you a question. How would your relationship with God change if you believed God wants nothing from you but your true self? Your true self, not the filtered self, not the, you know, I know what I should be and say, no, what you really believe, what you really think, what you really feel. I tell you, sometimes I don't know what I feel. And I got to say, God, I don't know what I feel. And, you know, my dear brother, Will Mason, taught me, you know, back in the days when, I, you know, go to CR. All right. Are you sad? You mad? You glad? You know, OK. If you got to do that, great. But what's really going on inside? Again, one of the things God helped me see during our sabbatical is that I worried about, you know, church. I worried about, you know, people. I worry about the future. Sometimes the phone rings and I get afraid. Uh-oh, it's, you know, my dad's calling and then he's going to tell me something about my grandma, or he's going to tell me, and my mind goes in that direction. And I'm like, okay, relax, Russ, relax. Yeah. I know you feel fearful or you're worried, you know, but it you know, it's like, where am I really at here? Because God, that's what he wants. See, when we're giving him the real inside stuff, man, that's what breakthroughs happen. Ruth's love was stronger than her fear. And she had a breakthrough, and God led her to where Boaz came along, and the rest is history. Mary, Martha's sister, knew what really mattered. She knew what really mattered. And Jesus says, I'm not taking that away from you, because you got your priorities in place. Tonight, I want to encourage us. Let's learn from these sisters' example and take what applies to us. Any breakthrough we need is possible with God. Any breakthrough we need in our marriages, in our communication, in our finances, in our parenting, in our thinking, in our understanding what we're thinking, or understanding what we're feeling, understanding, you know, what's going on around us. Any breakthrough we need is possible with God. The biggest breakthroughs in our lives happen when we let God work on the real stuff, the real issues, the real thoughts, the real thing in any area of our hearts that we can sometimes be afraid to reveal. But as we trust God's power, as we trust God's promises, as we find the strength to open up about, hey, here's what's really going on, we will experience breakthroughs greater than we could ever imagine. Now, before my dear brother Will Mason comes and he's going to lead us in a song, I put up a couple of, here's some other examples of some great breakthroughs that you can look at. And maybe I can, you know, put this in the chat. It might be too big. Let me see if I can. Nope. Okay, yeah, maybe. Edit copy. Anything. Edit copy. All right, maybe I can do it. And so, as I said, Will Mason's going to come and close us out with a song. But brothers and sisters, let's really think about this lesson, because, like I said, this month we're going to be looking at amazing women in the scriptures and being inspired by how they had breakthroughs because of their relationship with God. And again, I want to remind us, we are springing forward on Sunday. So turn your clocks up an hour on Saturday night. And let's pray together. And then Will Mason will put us out with a song. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. And thank you so much for your word. Lord, we want to have breakthroughs. We want to continue to keep growing, never staying satisfied, but constantly wanting to be like you, because we know we'll never be like you in every way. But God, that's our aim, because we love you. We love Jesus. You teach us how to live in this body through Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I pray again that you move in the hearts and minds, and you know, help us to not be discouraged, but to remember that with you, all things are possible. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.